Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we've got a really important subject that affects so many families and so many lives in our country. I'm sure there's issues like this around the world, but boy, it's here, it's now, and it's something that needs to be addressed with families. And it is elder abuse prevention. It's also efforts that are being made to legalize rights for family to be able to see their family, also some guardianship reform. So this is a very interesting and important subject affecting a lot of people. I have seen over the years more and more people ask for guidance in the area of estate planning, trust planning, and all those things. But there's also the personal part of it that is just oh so important. And with more and more marriages and divorces and remarriages and stepchildren and all this different, what do they say, this morphing and kind of shifting of the family dynamics, all of that has had a tremendous impact on how people interact with their family members, especially when they are either incapacitated or being able to access them and see them. And so this is just really important. And there is a champion. There are many, many people involved with this effort. There's a champion. Catherine Falk is really spearheading with the Catherine Falk Organization. And just like it sounds, CatherineFalkOrganization.org. And she is the daughter, if you don't recognize that name, the daughter of the late Peter Falk. And she is the pioneer of the Peter Falk bill. There's legislation afoot to get rights that are put in place in the form of legislation. And the Catherine Falk Organization is a nonprofit and is lobbying and drafting human visitation legislation and working with the states. And so this is a tremendous, tremendous area of need. And if you don't recognize the name still, the late Peter Falk was better known as Columbo to millions of people around the world on television. So let's dive right in here. Catherine, welcome, and thank you so much for your efforts. Thank you. Welcome to the program.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me.
Well, listen, I know this is a subject that's very close to your heart, and I know it's a source of mixed feelings, and there's the pain and the challenges of those memories of not being able to see your father. Tell us a story of what happened, and then we'll get into this legislation and why it's just so vital and important in our society today.
I think for me, at least, it was really difficult because my sister and I never anticipated being confronted with the idea that there would be this isolation between parent and child. Mm. You know, you never think when you're growing up that you're going to have that conversation with your parents. You know, with all the remarriages that are happening in our society, it's really a prevalent issue. And it's, you know, I mean, Mickey Rooney, 8 wives, you know, and you've got Glenn Campbell with 4 wives, and it's just not indicative of celebrity, children of celebrity parents. I mean, this is, millions of people are going through this, and that's the saddest part about all this, but we are the voices for change with those people just not being heard. But, you know, with my dad and I, it was just really bizarre because you know, when your father has capacity to say no or to stand up for himself, you're used to that. So all the years that went by, as much as there was some contention between the second wife and you know, my sister and I, my father was able to set very clear boundaries and had his own autonomy. And so when, as a child growing up, you rely on that. Mm. And then when he had Alzheimer's and terrible dementia, it really became exacerbated with his hip replacement surgery because obviously, you know, if you know anything about anesthesia, sometimes, you know, it triggers and puts you into full-blown Alzheimer's. I mean, it's just, it really messes with your mind.
Yeah.
And I had a bad feeling about that. So when I spoke to him, about 3 days before Father's Day in 2009. We were supposed to go out to dinner with my sister and I. We were going to take him to Le Dome on Sunset. That's his favorite, was his favorite restaurant. We were going to go to dinner, and so we were talking on the phone, and I thought, wow, he was very cognizant, and we had a good conversation, and he said, well, I'm going in for surgery on Monday. It was either Monday or Tuesday that following week, you know, the week, because I had spoken to him like on a Thursday, and we were going to go to Father's Day on Saturday, and then Monday, Tuesday was his hip replacement surgery. And I said, you know, I said, are you sure you're supposed to be doing this? It doesn't sound good, you know, mm-hmm. are you in that much pain? And he said, I can hardly walk. I'm having trouble walking.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then Father's Day came and went, and we couldn't reach him. And I had no idea what happened, and that wasn't like him. And so we called his private line at home, and he didn't pick up the phone. And so my sister went to the hospital when he was scheduled for surgery that following week and went in, and the nurses came out and said, oh, well, he was checked out on Father's Day. So somebody, not mentioning names, but somebody upped his surgery date so that he would miss Father's Day.
Ooh.
So there, in a nutshell, is what happened, and hence is the reason why I waited about 30 days. I called my dad at his house every single day, left messages, I recorded the messages, didn't get anywhere, and then his wife picked up the phone on one of the calls and screamed and yelled at me and said, your father doesn't love you, he's never loved you, he wants nothing to do with you, and she proceeded to call me names, and she hung up, and I said, I need a lawyer. I don't know what else to do. This is ridiculous.
So then you hire a lawyer, and what happened
then?
Yeah,
so I didn't know what else to do, so I went and talked to a lawyer who was in the probate court, and he said the only way you really can get in to see your father is if you go and file for conservatorship. And I said, well, I didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
But I just want to see my dad. I don't want anything to do with conservatorship. And so he said that's the only way to go to the judge and ask for visitation, because it's the only place to go. So I did. I went into court and I said to the judge, I don't want conservatorship. I said, I don't want conservatorship over the person or the estate. I said, can you just let me see my dad?
Yeah.
And she said, well, we've never had anybody just come in asking to see a parent. And this is all the way back in 2009. This is before other big cases came along, you know?
Mm.
And so the judge, I said to my attorney then, I said, why don't we draft a Peter Falk bill or a visitation bill that streamlines this process?
Right.
And, you know, avoids this lengthy battle. And then, and the judge, at her discretion, she gave me visitation rights, and I withdrew the conservatorship over the estate because I didn't want to run his estate. And his wife, I wasn't questioning his wife about that, just about the isolation piece of it,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So the judge gave me visitation, but it was after me spending close to $100,000 of my own money.
Wow.
My dad's estate was being billed for, you know, a PVP attorney and a psych, you know, a court-appointed doctor to do an evaluation, you know, mental capacity, blah, blah, blah. You know, my dad's estate is paying for all that. And it's completely unnecessary. And what people don't understand in America, many people, is that when you go into probate court and you have somebody, a loved one, who is not in a conservatorship, and I want to be very clear about this because many people don't know this. When you walk into probate court and you're trying to solve what's really a criminal matter and a civil matter, because isolation and elder abuse are criminal. They're not a probate matter. So when you go into probate court and you drag somebody into probate court who's not already in a conservatorship, you then, potentially, you guardianize that person. By guardianizing, mean like, you put that person in harm's way by having the court appoint a stranger as their guardian.
Right.
And I'm against that 100%.
Well, and you're trying to do all that, Catherine, in order just to get the, I mean, it's going around your elbow to get to your knee. You're going to that extreme, or that's the route that must be taken in order to get just to be able to have the ability to see the person.
Right. And that's what people have their civil liberties. Mm. You know, when they're not a ward of the state, they still have their constitutional freedoms. And they really do. And you know, elder abuse, it should be a 911 call. It should be an ATS call. There are other systems that should work that would necessitate proper intervention. But what's happening is everybody's running into probate court to solve all these family matters, and the only person that suffers is the ward, like my dad, who wasn't a ward,
right.
It puts him into guardianship.
Right. And that opens up a whole other can of worms.
It opens up a terrible can of worms, because most of the time, the courts will appoint a temporary conservator or a permanent conservator who's a complete stranger, but the worst part about it is that they deplete assets, they sell properties off of you, they put you in nursing homes. They basically make all of your decisions for you. You've lost all of your civil liberties. It's terrible.
Okay, so this is an ugly thing, and the costs are substantial, and I'll say this hopefully the right way, Catherine. Not everybody can spend a lot of money working with an attorney to try to fix this. So what we need to do then is figure out how to prevent all this and create some rights and structure and some legal documents perhaps.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what's really sad, David, is that I have thousands of cases that I review every single week. I'm not even kidding you when I say thousands of cases across the country where people show me I've got a POA.
Right.
I've got a healthcare directive. I've got my healthcare proxy in line, and still the court doesn't honor it. still, when the person gets, when you have a family squabble and you've got a sibling going after another sibling by saying, well, I'm just going to drag dad into court and I'm going to get conservatorship over my dad because all my siblings are being a pain in the neck. Then you're bringing all this family drama into probate court. And you know what the judge does? The judge says, you know what? Part of my language, screw you and screw you. I'm not dealing with any of you guys. This person's in harm's way. I'm just going to give you a court-appointed a guardian who's just going to run the show.
Exactly.
Right, because the view is I can't trust any of you, so I'll pull somebody else in that doesn't have any attachment to this. And then again, that opens up a whole other can of worms.
Exactly. And so they're really, you know, you can have all the paperwork in line. I mean, I've got paperwork, you know, my, you know, I have, you know, and it doesn't, it's meaningless. It's really mean. I mean, I know people who are in a coma in a hospital, and they're in their 30s and 40s, and they come out of a coma, they wake up, and they've been guardianized, and their property has been sold, and their cars are missing, and it's like, how did I get here? How does this happen where I'm in guardianship just because I've come out of a coma, you know?
Well, let's do this, Catherine. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and I want to talk about some of the solutions, and I know that you've got the Peter Falk bill that you are trying to get passed, and there's legislation that can be done to help address these issues. Let's grab a quick break, and we'll come back and talk some more. Catherine Falk, ladies and gentlemen, CatherineFalkOrganization.org. Quick break. We'll be right back. Hold right there, Catherine.
Hello, this is Brenda Campbell, General Manager with Volusia Memorial Park and Funeral Home. We are committed to helping you with compassionate, professional, and personal service. When it comes to pre-planning for yourself or someone you love, a Dignity Memorial Provider is the name you can trust for all your funeral, cremation, cemetery, and memorial service needs. Recording them and sharing them with your loved ones will help ensure your final arrangements will be what you want, easing the burden on your family and friends. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, and I'm board certified in divorce and family law. I focus on representing divorcing spouses over the age of 50. For those previously divorced individuals who desire to marry again but want to avoid the expense and acrimony of another contested divorce, I specialize in drafting prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. You can contact me in our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit my website at ricerosalaw.com.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be done in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals, couples, and families plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his client's shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. If you'd like to learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. No cost or obligation. Or visit PlanStronger.com.
And we're back. Catherine Falk on the line. Catherine, welcome back.
Hi, thank you.
All right, now I've got you sufficiently wound up. Now we're going to talk about some solutions to this problem that not just you, but thousands of people face around the world, well, around the country. And your website, CatherineFalkOrganization.org, has got a lot of great information about what you guys are doing. But in a nutshell, describe what you're doing with the Peter Falk bill, what the legislation's about, and what kind of progress are you making? How's it going? Give us an update and talk about this legislation you're trying to get picked up and passed in the states.
Well, you know, I mean, there's two different schools of thought, you know. I have the approach where I decided a year ago because of Glenn Campbell, but that definitely, I reached out to the governor, actually, in Tennessee and over to Chairman Crow in Tennessee. When Glenn Campbell's children, I'd spoken to Travis Campbell, actually, reached out to me and said, I can't see my dad. You know, I've signed this mediation agreement. It was under duress. They told me he was going to be dying and all this kind of drama that was going on. And he's been blocked from seeing his dad. And so I called Chairman Crow in Tennessee about a year ago. And I said, you know what? I really want to draft a Ward's Rights bill that is incredibly comprehensive that deals with somebody in a conservatorship that's being isolated. Because I don't want to draft, you know, many years ago I drafted a bill in California with my lawyer that basically, you know, allowed anybody and anybody to ask for visitation to anybody in or out of a guardianship. And I have evolved into a much deeper thinker based on the research I've done. And that is actually not a good bill in my opinion, because I don't want to put somebody into a conservatorship. So I want nothing to do with that part of my past, because I want to take care of people who are in guardianships, who are being isolated, who have no rights. And I want to help protect those people because they have nowhere to turn and they have fallen through the cracks and they don't have a voice. And so I want to help them. And so when Travis reached out to me, I went to Tennessee. And so Senator Crow allowed me from scratch, from start to finish, I wrote our own bill with myself and my partnering organization, NASGA. We sat down and we drafted a bill, 5 pages long. And in that bill, it's really clear. It talks about whether when somebody's incapacitated, whether they have capacity or not, that they have the right to communication, telephone calls, mail, that they can't be isolated. Mm-hmm. And that the person who's isolating has to file, that they have to show cause. They have to move the court to show cause of why they're restricting me or anybody else from seeing a parent or a loved one.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So it puts the onus on the guardian or the person with the rights. Now, in many situations, it's the spouse that, you know, so in your dad's case, the spouse, his wife was able to basically, you know, if I understand this correctly, basically cut off access. And would this legislation create, you know, access to somebody that maybe they haven't been actually, you know, put into a guardianship where they just aren't?
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm working with the Uniform Law Commission because this was my struggle, okay? I went to the Uniform Law Commission before I went to Tennessee for this bill. I went to the Uniform Law Commission. I said, we have a real problem in America. We have two issues. Number one, the issue of isolation when somebody is not in a conservatorship. And by asking for visitation rights, you then put them into harm's way. And that's not fair either. So we need to draft a bill with people of power of attorney or outside of a conservatorship that just are abusing. See, people with power of attorney, they don't realize they have very limited powers. But people with power of attorney abuse their powers. And if you actually read, they don't have that. They definitely don't have the power to isolate.
No.
They have very limited powers. But somebody in a guardianship who is the guardian of the conservator wields absolute power over the ward and makes all the decisions. And so there really needs to be two separate bills. And so the ULC, the Uniform Law Commission, agreed with me. They accepted my proposal. And so that's what I'm working on. We're in three separate areas of the law. I'm working in family law. I'm working in wills and estates probate law. And then I'm also working in the Guardianship Act with the Uniform Law Commission. I'm not working for them, but they've accepted my proposal and they recognize that this isolation and this visitation epidemic has to be addressed in three different areas of the law.
Okay, I'm with you. So we need to address the visitation if somebody is in a non-guardianship, somebody that is in a guardianship, and that's the visitation area. And then on top of that is family law, and it's also addressing the powers that people have as power of attorney, which I've read plenty of powers of attorney, and I understand exactly what you're talking about there. And also making sure that their assets, these things are protected under a guardianship. And really protected, I mean, I know there's stories that you could share of people that are, you know, people are taken advantage of, that the guardianship, that the money just goes.
Right. You know, I mean, look, you know, the guardian has a right to keep away the Jeffrey Dahmer types. And our bill is not trying to penalize or punish good guardians at all. You know, good guardians don't isolate loved ones. They know if somebody comes to the door and they're like Jeffrey Dahmer, they exercise good judgment. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, these bad guardians that isolate are doing it in retaliation. They have a vendetta. They have, you know.
Or they just want control. Yeah, or they want
control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, and a lot of these second and eighth spouses, you know, people always say, oh, the children are coming after the money. You know, if you know as much as I do. When a will is written, you cannot change a will when the person is incapacitated.
That's right.
My father was incapacitated, and I never questioned the estate or the money. And that's the, you know, these wives, they love to say that, oh, the children are coming for the money. Well, you know, these spouses are isolating because they're afraid.
Right.
And there's greed there, and there's control there, and there's all these different diagnoses that are present with these spouses that are doing this. You know?
Yeah. Well, if you've got control over the person and you can restrict access, then you obviously have the ability to do whatever, you know, in some of these cases, the ability to do what you want with their finances, because a lot of times there's that power of attorney and other documents that give them authority over their finances, and they don't want anybody else around. They don't want anybody else talking to them. They don't want anything. They don't want any of that. They just want it completely segregated in a little bubble.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, this is a very important issue, Catherine. I'm so glad you're focused on it. Let's grab another quick break. We'll come back with Catherine Falk. Her organization is CatherineFalkOrganization.org, and she's an advocate for elder abuse prevention, working on legislation. And we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the legislation and where things stand, and then what people can do to get involved and also look out for themselves and their loved ones. Stay right there.
Hi, I'm Teresa Rand with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. Our Y has 6 locations to help you reach your health and fitness goals. With a focus on healthy living, youth development, and social responsibility, there are many different options to get your family involved, such as sports, swim, exercise, and much more. For more information on how your Y can help with your health and fitness goals, check out www.vfymca.org.
Done right, done on time, or it's free. Holland Tax and Accounting Services, a division of Holland Financial, holds the same values our clients have trusted for almost 20 years. We have the financial expertise that will help you manage your business and personal financial priorities year-round, not just during tax season. Whether you are an individual or a business, Holland Tax can accommodate your needs for tax planning and preparation. For your business or personal finances, rely on Holland Tax and Accounting Services to deliver personal and detailed attention. Call 386-671-7526 to have your taxes done right, done on time, or it's free.
All right, we're welcome back. Catherine Falk on the line. Big stuff, big issues, and I'm just, my mind is racing, Catherine, of all the things that people need to be thinking about with this issue, and I just applaud the work that you're doing. People can get more information.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I want people to go to your website and get more information at CatherineFalk.org. CatherineFalkOrganization.org. So let me ask you this, Catherine. While you're working on this legislation, well, give me an update. This is something that's done at the state level. So give me kind of an idea of the progress so far. Have you gotten in and gotten passed? Where are things?
So, I mean, I'm in about 20. I've lost track, but it's been somewhere between 20 and 25 states.
Wow.
Where we've taken the Tennessee bill, because that's really my first redo of a Ward's Rights bill. And so I took the Tennessee bill and I took it state to state with NASDA, my, you know, National Association of Stop Guardian Abuse. We took it to many other states. Some states are taking portions of it. You know, every state writes and drafts to fit their statutes incredibly differently. And it's a little bit nerve wracking.
Yeah.
So you have to, it's very arduous and very tedious how they write laws into their existing statutes. And you have to be very patient with them. But we have our bill sitting on its own in Colorado. The whole bill was accepted in Colorado. We just passed the judiciary with a 5-0 vote in our favor, and we did really well in Colorado. It's a long process. You have to go to the Judiciary Committee, then you have to go into the Senate. It depends on if you have a senator or an assembly person who's who's sponsoring your bill.
Yeah.
But so basically, in Colorado, you have to go to the Senate, which is where we're going. And then to the House, and then you go back to the Senate. And so it's quite the process.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. So for people that are out there listening to this, Catherine, who, you know, are concerned about this, and that should be a lot of people, I would say, not only the person that may want the visitation rights or want certain protections, but also the people themselves, the, you know, mom and dad or whoever it is, you know, are you seeing any, what's your experience been with having documents prepared that can help with this issue where there's something done in advance, like almost like a pre-need granting of, or, you know, visitation or with...
I think that with your healthcare proxy and all of your, you know, paperwork in order, that there should be a provision in your paperwork that says, under no circumstances do I want to be isolated or be restricted from X, Y, and Z. And then you have to list out more than one successor on, you know, in your estate plan. You have to have, I mean, I have like five or six.
Right.
And, you know, you have to really take preventative measures as best you can. But I'm telling you, sometimes even that doesn't work. It's really scary. But I think that the more informed people are and more aware of what could happen, that's at least a start, right?
No, that's a good, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, I think based, and again, I'm not an attorney, but I do a lot of work with these documents, Catherine. It sounds like it really would be some language that an attorney, and again, it varies by state because the laws are all different, but this would be something that would fall into more of the healthcare area as opposed to power of attorney, because it's more about the person and their health and their, you know, they're being taken care of, that's a place for, you know, restricting, you know, or putting a limit on isolation or alienation, or even just more forthrightly saying, hey, look, if I'm not able to make my decisions about my health care, then that probably means I'm incapacitated. But, you know, while I'm alive, I want these people to be able to access me and see me. And,
right.
You know, and then those people, you know, often are the people that are named in the, as a healthcare surrogate or at least a successor surrogate with that authority. And they should all have copies of that so that if there's a problem down the road, then, you know, if you had a document like that and you could say, look, I have a document that says I have, you know, that says he wants me to access him, even if he can't say so, then that's at least a step in the right direction while you're working on getting this legislation passed.
Exactly. You know, and the only people that really oppose my bill or our bill are guardians that misbehave, or, you know, the Bar Association likes to come in and they testify against us all the time. We just passed in Tennessee our signature bill just cleared the judiciary with Senator Crow in Tennessee last week. And, you know, Travis Campbell was there. Tanya Tucker was there. And I testified. And it was a victory for us because, you know, even certain judges in probate court, they announced that they support our bill. We were surprised. But one particular judge in Tennessee in probate, he said, I think this is a good bill. The wards need, you know, there needs to be checks and balances between wards and guardians. There needs to be a balance, you know, of power here, and to, you know, isolation is just an awful thing. As you get older, be isolated, it just seems just so cruel, you know?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Catherine, I love what you're doing. I applaud the work. We'll send people to the website for more information. CatherineFalkOrganization.org. And keep doing what you're doing, Catherine. I support
your
work.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Go get them.
I appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.